You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show.
We're continuing our look at the book, What's Yours is Mine, Against the Sharing Economy by Tom Slee. Last show, we went through chapter one. Now we're looking at chapter two, The Sharing Economy Landscape. One way to explore the makeup of the sharing economy is to look at an organization called PEERS. Formed in 2013, PEERS describes itself as a grassroots member-driven organization that supports the sharing economy movement. When Airbnb ran into business permit problems in Grand Rapids, Michigan, or when a neighborhood council threatened to ban Airbnb in the town of Silver Lake, California, it was PEERS that rallied Airbnb hosts to lobby counselors on the company's behalf. When Seattle City Council decided that Lyft and Uber were breaking taxi regulations, it was PEERS that mobilized supporters to sign petitions. And these efforts were not in vain. They succeeded in getting councils to back down. And in one of the organization's most important victories, they got the state of California to recognize a new important victory. They got the state of California to recognize a new category of transit organization called, quote, transportation network companies, which created a framework within which Lyft, Uber, Sidecar, and others could operate legally, and which had been imitated in several other states since. In the summer of 2014, PEERS listed 75 partner organizations on its website, and the list gives a snapshot of the sharing economy landscape as it hit the mainstream. Spanish company GoDog is a platform that brings together dog owners and trustworthy dog sitters with Boatbound. You can find the perfect boat with or without a captain. If you prefer eating to boating, you can go to Cookening, a website where the host cooks and shares a meal with you at his or her place. Cookening is a bit like Eat With, whose hosts share a talent for making amazing meals and a love for welcoming people into their homes to share them. And Cookisto charts a similar path, providing a website to which neighbors share delicious homemade meals. If you need to do handiwork around your home but lack the tools, then you want to go to Neighbor Goods, share goods with your neighbors and friends. 1,000 Tools, the rental market for tools. Or if you are in Australia, Open Shed, Why buy when you can share? If you don't have skills yourself, you could talk to TaskRabbit to provide a helper. If you need an office space to work, try Pivot Desk. If you need to raise funds, go to CrowdTilt. If you need your home clean, go to HomeJoy. If you need a place to park your car, try Park at My House. If you want to rent a bike or surfboard, reach out to Spinlister. These are the sharing economy organizations sprouting up for all kinds of activities. Getting around is the most prevalent offering represented by ride-sharing companies like Lyft and Sidecar, car sharing, relay rides, bike sharing, Spinlister, Divi, and more. Sharing meals and sharing household goods are popular, and popular services such as home cleaning, Home Joy, Properly, and Errands, TaskRabbit, Piggy Bee, all have presence too. Almost all of these organizations have started in the last few years. Peers partners come from around the world. California and New York are the most common origins, but there are partners from several European companies like Piggy Bee is Belgium, Blacacar is French, Carpooling is German, Swapsy is Spanish, Park at My House is British, and Australia, Zukal, AirTasker, as well as are from Israel, Eat With, Casa Versa, South Africa, and Turkey. This diversity, this range of small and neighborhood-focused organizations, is why the sharing economy has appealed to the ecologically minded and to those who identify with artisans. It's why author Rachel Botsman can describe the sharing economy this way in a TED Talk that was delivered. Quote, at its core, it's about empowerment. It's about empowering people to make meaningful connections, connections that are enabling us to rediscover the humanness of what we've lost somewhere along the way. By engaging in marketplaces like Airbnb, like Kickstarter, like Etsy, that are built on personal relationships versus empty transactions. It's why stories in the mainstream press tended to start off with the quirky and personal. Here is the Wall Street Journal, quote. Quote, the hottest technology trends and apps that let anyone share anything, which is why Grace Licha recently found a group of strangers eating her home-cooked macaroni. About a dozen people she met through the internet arrived mostly on time at her Washington, D.C. home in November for three flavors of macaroni and cheese, garlic crusted, goat cheese tomato, and curried. Ms. Licha, 32 years old, advertised seats for the Mac Attack on a site called eatfeastly.com for about $19.80 each. And here is Wired magazine in the same vein. Quote, in about 40 minutes, Cindy Manick will let a complete stranger into her car. An app on her windshield-mounted iPhone will summon her to a corner in San Francisco's South of Market neighborhood where a russet-haired woman in an orange raincoat and coffee-colored boots will slip into the front seat of her immaculate 2006 Mazda 3 hatchback and ask for a ride to the airport. Peers is only one lens through which we view the makeup of the sharing economy. In 2013, Rachel Botsman presented a classification of sharing economy services, and in a 2015 report, consultant Jeremiah Wu Yang presented his own profile. In addition to the examples given above, Botsman and Ouyang each highlight some of sectors that are less well represented among peers' membership. One prominent sector is finance. Peer-to-peer lending companies such as the Lending Club and Prosper claim to replace credit cards and banks with lower interest person-to-person loans. Lending Club became a publicly owned company in December 2014, and the volume of peer-to-peer loans is growing rapidly. As of May 2015, the five biggest companies have issued nearly a million loans between them and are generating more at a rate of well over $10 billion a year. Another booming sector is shared working spaces, promoting access over ownership for new businesses and independent creators. WeWork, the lender in the space, has raised over $500 million to help it expand. Wired magazine explicitly compares WeWork and Uber and Airbnb after the company's latest funding round valued at $5 billion. It's a steep price for what is essentially an office leasing company, but WeWork business model, which combines real estate with technology, plays into the sharing economy trend that has captivated investors in recent years. Thanks to the hit companies like Uber and Airbnb, both companies infused established industries, car services, and vacation rentals with a high-tech touch, and as a result, both companies have garnered valuations far beyond their established predecessors, taxi and limo services and hotels, and so it goes with WeWork. Botsman and Ouyang both extended the definition of the sharing economy to include companies largely outside the scope of this book. Coursera and others are challenging university education, providing massively open online courses, which are called MOOCs, M-O-O-Cs, online marketplaces for products such as eBay and Etsy, predate the rise of the sharing economy. And its focus on real-world exchanges and crowdfunding platforms such as Kickstarter can be seen as an extension of the peer-to-peer finance platforms. The sharing economy landscape is defined not only by what it includes, but what kind of sharing organizations are missing. Sociologist Juliette Skor sums up the situation, quote, "There's a great diversity among activities as well as baffling boundaries drawn by participants. TaskRabbit, an errand site, is often included. But Mechanical Turk, Amazon's online labor market, is not. Airbnb is practically synonymous with the sharing economy, but traditional bed and breakfasts are left out. Lyft, a ride service company, claims to be in, but Uber, another ride service company, does not. Shouldn't public libraries and parks count? When I posed these questions to a few sharing innovators, they were pragmatic rather than analytical. Self-definition by the platforms and the press defines who is in and who is out." Uber initially resisted being identified with the sharing economy, but since starting its UberX program, it has increasingly adopted the sharing economy language. While some observers resisted including Uber in the ranks of the sharing economy companies, it now clearly belongs. It is the principal beneficiary of peers' efforts around ride-sharing, and especially the establishment of the transportation network company classification in California. The normal way in which communities provide shared goods is through government, from municipal swimming pools and soccer fields to public transit libraries and much more. But there are no government groups in the list. There's no representation among peers' partners from the world of food co-ops, worker co-ops, lending libraries, allotment groups, or other groups involved in non-digital community sharing initiatives. Zipcar is included, shares access to a vehicle, but the Youth Hostel Association is not, shared access to accommodation. There are many organizations that seem to fit into the sharing economy mandate, taken literally, but that has no link to peers, whether they have equipment rental shops, secondhand stores, boat rentals, or even big car rental companies. But the boundaries of the sharing economy are not arbitrary. Almost all the members of peers and all the groups mentioned by Botsman and Ouyang are technology-focused organizations, and this is central to the sharing economy story. If sharing economy companies define the name, then it is clear that the internet is a central part of their identification. It is the commercial embodiment of author Stephen Johnson's idea of the, quote, peer progressive. In his recent book, Future Perfect, Johnson says, quote, when a need arises in society that goes unmet, our first impulse should be to build a peer network to solve that problem. To build a peer network means, first and foremost, to build an internet software platform, a website, and or mobile application on which consumers and service providers can create a presence and exchange goods and services. Looked at from other perspectives, the sharing economy is not as diverse as it first appears. Strangely, considering the language of altruism and generosity that is often used to describe it, the sharing economy is overwhelmingly made up of commercial organizations rather than nonprofits. Out of the peers' 70 partners, over 60 are for-profit companies, and over 85% of the funding for peers' partners went to California companies. Despite the sprinkling of partners from around the globe, the money shows that the sharing economy is predominantly a Silicon Valley phenomena. This is one reason why, although I am Canadian and British, this book focuses on American events and debates. Three types of service dominate: hospitality, transport, and education. In the world of hospitality, most of that funding has gone to one company, Airbnb, which in the summer of 2014 raised over $800 million since 2009, with the majority coming in the previous 12 months. In the world of transport, the leading fundraiser was Lyft, which had raised over $300 million, most of that in April 2014. For all the talk of neighbors swapping power drills, these are the kinds of companies that are making waves and leading the sharing economy. Since the summer of 2014, the picture has become even more exaggerated. As of August 2015, Airbnb has taken in fundraising to a massive $2.3 billion. Lyft has raised $1 billion, and its competitor Uber, which is not a peer's partner, had raised no less than $7 billion. What this all comes down to is that while the sharing economy is often presented as a diverse set of commercial and non-commercial initiatives from around the world, from tool exchange, co-ops, to pet sitting, and so on, this presentation is a bit misleading. The sharing economy is almost entirely a small number of technology firms backed by large amounts of venture capital.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC. But it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We're looking at the book, What's Yours is Mine, Against the Sharing Economy, Tom Slee. The history of peers itself reflects the tension between the disparate and geographically scattered organizations on its partner list and the reality of a few well-funded Silicon Valley companies. At its founding, the The organization was led by someone called Natalie Foster, who had a background as a community organizer and who had worked with the Obama administration and the Sierra Club, and other leading or members had community organization-backed grounds. When Peers described itself as grassroots, member-driven organizations that support the sharing economy movement were the people who believed in that description. However, the picture is more complex than this. The formation of Peers was announced by another co-founder, Douglas Atkin, and his words at the Le Web conference in 2013 have a communitarian ring. Quote, I'd like to talk about a movement for the sharing economy. By, quote, a movement, I mean exactly that. I mean huge numbers of people with a shared identity mobilized to take action to do two things: to grow the peer sharing economy and to fight for their collective interests against unfair and unreasonable obstacles, unquote. But in addition to being a board chairman at Peers, Douglas Atkin is global head of community and mobilization at Airbnb. Airbnb is not the only company involved in Peers. Much of the organizational funding comes from mission-aligned independent donors and foundations. But these independent donors, including investors and executives of sharing economy startups, Peers leader Natalie Foster traced the idea for the organization back to seed money from Airbnb that started a conversation among stakeholders at Purpose, the organization that creates, quote, 21st century movements. Douglas Atkin was also a co-founder of Purpose. So Peers itself reflects this mix of humanitarian intent and corporate self-interest. Atkin, in particular, is well aware of the power that comes from identifying a business with a movement. He set out his philosophy in the 2004 book called The Culting of Brands, Turn Your Customers into True Believers. His approach consists first of determining and declaring your brand's sense of difference, what sets it apart from the rest of the world, and then providing ways for members to identify with a cult, while also identifying an opponent to demonize. As Atkin spoke at Le Web, he slipped back and forth between the language of business and the language of movement. In one part of his speech, participants were taking part in a political action. Quote, so what we're talking about here is not just people sharing their skills or their apartment or their car, but also their collective power to expand the sharing economy together. And we stand up against entrenched ill interests who stand unfairly in their way. So the so-called quote-unquote people power, if you like, is more accurately described as quote-unquote peer power. But a moment later, he is more interested in building businesses. Quote, I attended a meeting of the sharing economy participants. They were developing ideas, brilliant ideas actually, to share customers with each other across verticals. One person even suggested that there could be a peer economy currency, perhaps Bitcoin, or even points to encourage people to cross verticals and recruit new people into this new economy. So it is not surprising that almost all the campaigns at Peers were focused on the well-funded sectors of the sharing economy represented by Airbnb and Lyft. The highest profile campaigns, such as the 2014 ride-sharing initiative in Seattle, operated side by side with well-funded efforts driven by Lyft and by Uber themselves. Whatever the intent of the more community-focused Peers activists, the group functioned in part as a front for Silicon Valley lobbying. The funding behind the larger sharing economy companies highlights the contradictory currents that drive it. Billionaire and Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos also invested in both Airbnb and Uber. Leading venture capitalist firm Andreessen Horowitz has invested in Airbnb, Lyft, and delivery service Instacart. Founders Fund, a firm set up and led by billionaires and PayPal founder Peter Thiel, has invested in Airbnb, Lyft, and TaskRabbit. Goldman Sachs is another investor in Uber, as well as WeWork, which is also funded by J.P. Morgan. Lending Club sends emails emphasizing that, quote, instead of paying interest to credit card companies or on a traditional bank loan, you can get your loan through ordinary people like you who want to invest in your success. But its board includes Jack Ma, ex-Morgan Stanley, and Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary. This kind of wealth, in some cases, outspoken libertarian policies, is a long way from the picture of grassroots movements invoked by Douglas Atkin. The sharing economy is a movement. It is a movement for deregulation. Major financial institutions and venture and influential venture capitalist funds are seizing an opportunity to challenge rules made by democratic city governments around the world and to reshape cities in their own interests. It is not about building an alternative to corporate-driven market economies. It is about extending the deregulated free market into new areas of our lives. An enthusiasm for, quote, the end of ownership, unquote, the title of one Andreessen Horowitz blog post from The Sharing Economy, is difficult to take seriously when it comes from those who actually own the companies involved. And when Atkin dreams of citizens banding together to grow and protect their interest in the sharing economy, rather than companies yielding their power, one has to wonder where his own company stands. Towards the end of his speech, Atkin made a plea for help as follows, quote, so I'm here to tell you about some plans that will enable people to create a member-driven movement for the sharing economy, known as peers. If you like, a new kind of union for a new kind of economy. And I'm also here to ask for your support. So if you're a platform, help your users create this organization and then join it. If you're a thought leader, blogger, or conference speaker, champion it. If you've got some ready cash, please help fund it. Unquote. The chutzpah of asking his audience to dip into their pockets to fund an organization put together by billionaire-funded companies is remarkable. One of the motivations behind writing this book is to push back against people such as Douglas Atkin, appropriating the language of collective action and progressive politics for their own private financial gain. We'll continue looking at this book, What's Yours is Mine, which looks at the problems of the sharing economy, written by Tom Slee. So stay tuned for more shows on this topic.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
Listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. because too many others know what's happening out there.